prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, that we can be here tonight. Thank you for being able to share one with another in praise of you, the reality of a relationship with you. In some instances, you had answered prayer. In some instances, your Holy Spirit has been speaking to hearts. Other instances, just praising for how things are, how you bless us so much. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the time tonight. I do pray that you would be glorified in the remaining portion of our service. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Let me just read the words for you. I'm just going to read the verses, and then I'll read the chorus. So if you're singing along in your mind, I'm reading the verses first, then the chorus. The song says this: there is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain. Fills my soul with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk alone with God. 'Tis the joy of Christ my Savior who the path of suffering trod. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret, and I'm walking in the light. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart every moment, every hour. As I draw upon his power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Do you believe that? We talk about joy in serving Jesus. And I think about what a blessing that truly is. I'll tell you, the book of Romans has been, each time I preach through a series, I think, this one can't be as good as the time that I preached in such and such a book. But guess what? You know, I thought nothing could top the Gospel of John that we went through a couple of years ago. And we went through the book of Ephesians. Boy, nothing could top that. Now we're in the book of Romans, and I'm thinking, oh my word, nothing can top that. What a blessing just to realize what God has done for us. And the thing that impresses me is the fact that God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And even Paul, you know, for a good man, some might die and something like that. But the whole redemption story, that here was a whole race of humanity that God had created, and humanity willfully turned away from God and began doing their own thing. God did not have to redeem us. He could have just left us perish. But he so loved us, he provided the way of salvation and redemption for us. I don't know that I will ever get over that. John was talking in Sunday school this morning, picturing that heavenly scene in Revelation 4 and embarked on 5 when the time. I don't know that I'm ever going to really get over the fact that God saved me. That God did what he had to do to make my redemption possible. Can I add another one to that? The fact that God allows one who once was a lost sinner to do what? Serve him. Serve him. Why, it seems like God ought to take those angels that never did rebel against him and have those be his servants. But he wants to use fallen men that have been redeemed by his son's precious blood and serve him. Andrew, it's been a long time since you've wondered a title. Well, let's call this one In Service. In Service. I want us to think, first of all, about the privilege of service. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. And I want us to look at verses 12 through 14. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, insulting, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the context of these verses, of course, is the Apostle Paul himself regarding his call to the ministry. It's certainly, though, applicable to every one of us, isn't it? We might not have been persecuting and putting people to death, but what did you have to offer the Lord before the Lord saved you? What was your life worth to him? As we stop and think about what Christ has done to change our lives and forgive our sins, Ephesians chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3, Paul said, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Here is you and me, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our, the King James says, conversation or manner of life. We all were right there in times past in the lusts of the flesh. What was life like before we accepted the Lord? Paul says, here's what it was. We were fulfilling the desires, the cravings of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You say, well, I wasn't as bad as so-and-so. That doesn't matter. This was us. Each and every one of us, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. That's what motivated us. It was fulfilling the lusts and the desires of the flesh, and whatever came to our mind, we would just do it. And then to be able to have the privilege of serving the Lord. Doesn't that kind of humble you? Aren't you amazed that God could take a wreck like that? That was what motivated John Newton to write that song that everybody knows. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that did what? Saved a wretch like me. Well, here Paul's describing us. This was us before the Lord. And then to just think that not only would he save us, but then, as Paul was saying, he called me to serve him. Whoa. Some might be saying, "Whew, well, I'm sure thankful I haven't been called to serve him." Well, you can, whew, that one really quick. It's true, God hasn't called everyone to preach, everyone to go to a mission field halfway around the world and serve him. But do you know that if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, he has called you to faithful service for him? In the home, on the job, in your neighborhood, in our community. We don't need a special calling for that. He saved us so that we might, what, just sit in our rocking chair and thank the Lord that we're going to go to heaven when we die. He saved us so that we will do what? Serve him. And what a privilege. And Paul, I can almost hear Paul saying, I just can't get over it. As we read that portion there in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 14, I just can't get over it. I am thankful that he's counted me faithful, and he's put me in the ministry. And then he lists what I used to be. Don't ever forget what you used to be. You say, but I thought we were supposed to forget. Forgetting those things that are past and reaching forward to those things that are before. Some things it's good that we don't forget. Oh, not that we have to keep confessing them, that we have to keep beating our brows over what we did, but in this particular context, when we think about what we were saved from, don't ever forget it. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. And any change that's come about, all the glory goes to him, not you or me. Well, you might say, well, sure, serving him, that's great if you have nothing to lose. I mean, why not serve him? But you don't understand my life. You know, if I would just really step out and serve the Lord and really just jump on board and really want to commit my life to serve him, I'd lose so much. Apostle Paul, what do he have to lose? Now, I suggest to you in Philippians chapter 3, he had a lot to lose. Philippians 3, 4 through 7. Listen to what he said. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then Paul in verses 5 through 7 gives us a rendition of the reputation that he had, the status that he had in his day, in his community. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. There wasn't anybody that was more concerned about obeying the word of God than me. And he says, concerning zeal, I wasn't a half-hearted Jew, he said. I wasn't one of those straddling the fence, one day hot, one day cold. He said, concerning zeal for Judaism, why, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. The righteousness which is in the law. What was he referring to? We've said it before in our messages. If ever there was anyone that could have been saved by keeping the law, if that was a way to God, do you know who it would have been? It would have been the Apostle Paul. Because he says, I was blameless as far as just checking off, well, the law says this, I do it. Law says this, I don't do that. Whatever the law says. And Paul said, it wasn't that I didn't have a reputation and that I didn't have a status and a position. He was well respected. He was looked up to. He was sought after. They were glad to have him on the town council. Just think, there in the city of Jerusalem, when these crazy Christians started showing up, who was it that was the band leader? It was Paul. But notice what Paul says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those things that used to mean so much to me, my heritage, my nationality, my religion. He said, all those things I used to be so proud of, I counted them what? Lost for Christ. You know, that's one of the things that over the years, if I had a dime for every time I have tried to talk with somebody about the Lord and it just rolls off the top of their tongue. Oh, I was raised I'm as though that's going to get them to heaven. I'd take you all out and buy you a brand new car if I had a dime for every time I've heard. So many, it's those things that they value. And sadly, they value the fact that I was raised and brought up that means more to them than their souls, because they don't want to talk to you about, would you like to know what the Word of God says? They're not willing to give up and count but loss those things for Christ. So, while we speak of the privilege for Christ, you know, there's something else, though, that we also, we have to throw this in the pot, because we sang about, we didn't sing it, I read the words of that song. There's joy in serving Jesus. What a privilege it is. But secondly, let's not forget that there is a price of service. There's a price in serving Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 9. We are laborers together. I'm sorry, that's 3. 4, 9. I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. I realize, and once again, we're in the context of Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the things that are true to those that had that special calling, just realize they're true about believers. He says, I think God has chosen us as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. These truths are applicable to any devoted servant of Christ. The word that Paul uses in verse 9 is the word spectacle. That does not mean looking glass. When somebody says, did you forget your spectacles? No, that's not the spectacle that he's talking about. We're not an eyepiece. We're told that this word from which we get the English word spectacle, the Greek is theatron. Theatron. From which we get, can you guess what word? Theatron. Theater. Theater. We're like performers on stage. And people come to the theater and they sit in the chair. And what do? They are watching. They watch the ones on stage. And Paul said, that's us. We're like performers on stage. And who's watching? What did he say? We are made like a theater production unto the world. Unto secondly, who else? What? Angels. How long has it been since you have stopped to realize that as a Christian, the angels are watching your life and mine. The world is watching, angels are watching, and men are watching. It's pretty easy for us to admit and realize that men are watching. How do I know that? Just try to take a stand for the Lord and then blow it. And listen to what the men say. And you claim to be what? A Christian, and you would say that, you would do that. Paul said, we're like performers on stage. And they're watching us day after day after day. That's a price. You know what? That suggests to us that we'd best be careful how we serve our Lord. Because they are watching us. We move on in 1 Corinthians 4. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised, even unto this present hour. We both hunger and thirst, are naked and are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but my beloved, I write these things to warn you, to just tell you what it is. It sounds like Paul is saying, you know, serving the Lord is going to have some of those unpleasant moments. There's going to be some of those times when people aren't going to really be that appreciative of us. They're not going to be that thankful that we are concerned about their souls and want to talk to them and share with them. We've all met those, haven't we? We'd like to witness to them, and what do? They throw up the wall, they throw up the barrier, and they say, I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about that anymore. We're like the filth and the offscouring. Just, you can stay, but that's got to go. That's the price of service. Not everybody we meet is going to welcome us with open arms and say, oh, I am so thankful you wanted to come and talk to me about the Lord. That's the rarity. That's not the norm. Usually it's the other way around. As we think about this, in Oswald Chambers, an old classic devotional book, and I don't know how many of you have ever gone through this. It's called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. 2-3 generations ago, and some of it gets a little King Jamesy in its English and the way he puts it forth. So it's not maybe necessarily spoken the way we would say it. But it talks about, on this particular day, the recognized ban of relationship. We are made as the filth of the world. These words are not an exaggeration. The reason they are not true of us who call ourselves ministers of the gospel is not that Paul forgot the exact truth in using them, but that we too have too many discrete affinities to allow ourselves to be made refuse. He's talking about some who think about serving the Lord, and they have come to the conclusion, I'm not so sure I want to pay the price. I'm not so sure I want to be treated like Paul talks about there in 1 Corinthians 4. And so what do? We begin to do what we can to save ourselves from going through that. But Paul says, this is what reality is. Not only, it's a privilege, there's joy in serving Jesus, but don't forget there's a price that we have to pay. And in that 14th verse, he said, my beloved, I don't write these things to shame you. I'm not trying to turn you off, scare you away. But he said, I'm trying to warn some of you that are tottering on the fence. Boy, I don't know if I want to really sell out for the Lord or not. You know what Paul would tell them, sell out, beloved. Sell out for the Lord. For you see, our message would not be complete if we failed to close with number 3, the pleasure of service. The pleasure of service. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul refers to it in relation to his own life. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. And listen to the pleasure of service. As Paul nears the end of his life, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But then Paul says, not just to me only, but unto all of them that love is appearing and are faithful in their service to him. The pleasure of knowing that one has done his best for the Lord. Fighting the fight. Fighting the fight. And you know, beloved, the Christian fight, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, is not of this realm. What do you mean by that? What did Paul say? Where is our fight? We wrestle not against what, Paul said? Flesh and blood. We think we can handle it. We think we can get the victory. Jeremiah had a word for us. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our battle is not the opposition of the flesh. Our war is with enemies we can't even see. Have you ever seen a principality or a power or a ruler of darkness? Have you ever seen spiritual wickedness in high places? Have you ever come face? Beloved, wake up. That's where our fight is. And we think, I'm doing okay. I can handle this. Well, you see, faithful service, Paul says, it's going to be a fight. And the pleasure of service is to know that one day you're going to be able to stand before the Lord and you're going to be able to tell your Father, Father, I fought the good fight by your grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwelt me. And Father, not only did I fight a good fight by you, to your glory, but I finished the course you gave me. Don't get off course with God's will for your life. Remember, we were saved, Ephesians 2:10, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, Satan would like it nothing more than to get you or me to stray off course and get ourselves involved in something else. But the pleasure of loyal service is to be able to say, Father, I fought the good fight by your, and I finished the course. I didn't write my own course. I finished the course that you chose for me. And in doing all of that, I kept the faith. May God help us as Christians to realize the privilege of serving Him. I hope it's your heart's desire and your intention to tell Him, Lord, it's a great privilege, and I know it's going to cost, but I'm willing to pay the price as long as you go with me, as long as you empower me, because I don't want to reach the end of my life and not be able to say to you, I fought the fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. May God help us. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. We are thankful, Father, for the truth of your word. We're thankful for what you do for us. We're thankful, Lord, for these reminders this evening, not only that you saved us through the price of the sacrifice of your own Son, but amazingly, somehow you can use redeemed sinners for your grace and your glory and honor. May we be faithful servants. May we be those that are willing to pay the price. And Lord, help us in the fight to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, so that someday we might be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We ask this for your glory alone in your name.